So happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. As I mentioned, there are over 500 wildflower species in Wisconsin. You're going to see them in a lot of places here in the state, all over the state. But there are some really great places, maybe above and beyond the normal, that we're going to talk with you about today. Our guest, Rob Bignell. Rob's an author and award-winning journalist. His latest book is Wisconsin Best Wildflower Hikes. And we'll talk to him about his favorite trails, get some tips on how to identify and photograph the flowers that you find. And I hope you'll join in. Where do you like to go to see wildflowers? Do you have a favorite flower? Love to have you part of the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Rob Bignell, welcome. Thanks for joining in today.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me on the program.
How'd you get so interested in wildflowers?
I actually started with autumn leaves, believe it or not. So the previous book I wrote was about Wisconsin's best autumn leaf hikes or autumn hikes. And as I was doing that, I began noticing that there were a lot of wildflowers out on the trail in autumn, in fall, which I guess I'd noticed before, but it sort of surprised me as I was digging through leaves, trying to figure out what kind of trees were all in the area, so I could write that book. But every hike I went on, I started discovering all kinds of little things like different types of aster wildflowers. And decided, you know, maybe that's what my next book should be, is on wildflowers. And sure enough, it was.
And really, there's through at least three of the four seasons, we can definitely see them.
Right, definitely. Yeah, the thing about autumn leaves is while they're gorgeous, there's really only a 6 to 8 week window maybe across the entire state in which you can enjoy them. But wildflowers start sometimes even before the snow completely melts, and we'll go right into autumn. And right now we're at a really good peak time for wildflowers out on our prairies and oak savannas in the state. So it's a great time to go take a hike to see wildflowers.
Well, you cover, I think, over 100 trails, Wisconsin trails in the book. What criteria did you use to select them?
Sure. Well, the first thing is you wanted to come up with trails that are real representative of Wisconsin's wildflowers. And, of course, in our state, we've got a few ecosystems that really stand out, mainly our maple forest, where all of our spring ephemerals grow, our prairies, which are real flat and open, sort of like a prairie would be out in Dakota or Nebraska, our oak savannas, which are quite common, our wetlands, which we have a tremendous number of in Wisconsin compared to many other states, also have their own unique wildflowers. So I'm looking at those representative areas. But then the other thing I'm looking for is what do we have that's unique in our state? And we have some really cool, unique areas. We have flowers that we grow only in the Arctic, or typically only grow in the Arctic. You can find those up in Barron and Rusk counties in the Blue Hills area. We've got plants that typically grow in New Mexico that are desert plants, but they grow near spring green just because the environmental conditions are right for those type of flowers to grow. And we have some other flowers that are really pretty and common, you know, like the columbine, that are actually pretty rare in Wisconsin compared to other states. And there's only one or two spots in the state where you can find certain types of columbines. So trying to find sort of those unique places that are special to Wisconsin, or are where you can see a special flower, that one little spot. So those are the big criteria that I was looking at. And of course, I wanted to make sure we've got something from every single county, which we do in the book, that can be tough sometimes, like in urban areas, for example, tend to be built up. But there are actually great places to go see flowers that aren't, you know, your standard landscape rose garden that you might find, or an arboretum, but are actually just growing wild out on the trail.
Tom in Madison has a question for you. Tom, thanks for calling.
Sure.
Hello. I'm standing on Meadow Lane in front of my pollinator garden, and I've got some echinacea and some of the wild daylilies here. But I also have some mallow, and it's got a nice pink flower, and I've got a lot of blooms on it, and the bumblebees are working it right now. Just wondering about this flower, its origins, is it edible, what's it related to, is it native or invasive or what?
Sure, it's a mallow. You know, mallows do grow in Wisconsin, but they, you know, most people, I think, tend to use them as a garden rather than a wildflower. But what color was it? Because mallows do come in a variety of different colors. What color was it again?
These are a light pink.
Okay, a pink flower. You know, that is something I've not really seen out on the trail much of. You know, they probably would have about like five different petals on them, and the petals sort of overlap, if I'm not mistaken, with a mallow on your pink flower.
It's a kind of olive green, and I'd say there's like four to five petals that it's you know, they're thin stalks, and the leaf is on a thin stem, and it's not like a big solid leaf.
Right. It sounds to me, now without having seen a picture of it, it's probably a clustered poppy mallow. That would be my guess. There's probably five petals. You said it was about red to bright pink, or sort of an apple blossom pink, I would bet. So, presuming it's the clustered poppy mallow, you can find those out in the wild as well. They're actually pretty rare. They grow in the sand terrace prairies. So those would be areas like where rivers used to flow back at the end of the last ice age, but then they've since sort of sunk down into the river valley, and they left behind a sand terrace behind them. So that's where they typically grow, and they usually bloom, I'm trying to think, probably late summer. So if you're seeing it now, it might be a little early, but early July through September. If it's getting a lot of good moisture, if it's in your garden, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if it bloomed this early. So we're pretty close to early July, but just a day or two off. So that would make sense to me. But that would be my guess, is that it's probably that mallow plant. And they are wild. They do grow in the wild, but they're a flower of special concern here in Wisconsin. They don't exist in many places other than those sand terrace prairies.
Tom, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, I'll be in Door County coming up pretty quickly here. Have you got a suggestion for Door County for my daughter and I to view wildflowers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of great places up in Door County. Probably one of the best places is Logan Creek State Natural Area, which actually has trails through most of our state natural areas, don't have formal trails. But this one being in Door County, and it gets so many people driving by it and so many visitors to it. The Logan Creek State Natural Area is pretty well known for the wood violet, our state flower, of course, and that grows there. So you might still be able to spot a few of those violets out if you're just going up here this coming week. They typically bloom in mid to late May, but there's other violets in the area as well that grow and bloom a little bit later. Logan Creek, for those who aren't familiar with Door County or all the little towns up there, it's near Bailey's Harbor. So make sure you go by Bailey's Harbor and stop off there, and you should have a good spot to find lots of different types of violets. Yeah.
All right. We will, in fact, do that, because I'm sure we'll be in the Bailey's Harbor area fairly often. Well, sure. Rob Bignell. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I was going to give you a couple other tips here for Door County, since so many of your listeners probably are going to Door County right now or even through the autumn. This is their peak tourism season. But Peninsula State Park, for example, has some good array of wildflowers, especially trilliums that you can spot there. So if you love trilliums, that's a great park to go to up in Door County. Another spot that's really close, actually, to Bailey's Harbor is the Ridges Sanctuary. Of course, they've got lots of different flowers there. It's one of the top spots to go to see different types of flowers that you have. And one of the ones they have that are very rare in Wisconsin is the Dwarf Lake Iris, which usually only grows along Lake Michigan and Lake Huron in that area. But
so there's some good places
really
there.
Cool. You've been there?
Rob, we're going to take a quick look at the news, and we'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back to talk about more places to go. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking about where to find great wildflower hikes in Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Our guest, Rob Bignell. He is an author and an award-winning journalist. His latest book is titled Wisconsin's Best Wildflower Hikes. And he's got something for in virtually every county of the state in his book. You may have a question about your own area, or maybe someplace you're going off to visit and want to take a look at the wildflowers, give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Or maybe you've got a favorite place that you like to go to view wildflowers and other bits of nature. I hope you'll join in and talk about those as well. Again, 800-642-1234. Somebody wondered, what's your definition of a wildflower?
Sure. A flower that you, as a human being, don't plant in a garden. And so it's true in prairie areas, as we try to restore them, in a sense, we're sowing seeds and planting them. But really, once we sort of toss them, we let them go and see what comes up. So a wildflower is something that's just sort of growing naturally out in the environment rather than in a garden.
Yeah, that I think that's a good description. And one of the things I liked in your book is you've got some tips for identifying wildflowers and also some photo tips. But talk about that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the tips, like for finding flowers on a wildflower hike, it's not just as simple as saying, hey, let's go for a walk today and look at wildflowers. Because wildflowers, based on the environment that they're growing in, the ecosystem they're at, there may be no wildflowers there. Or if there are, maybe there's only one or two, whereas another season would be far better. I always think it's a good idea to look and figure out, are there any wildflowers that are growing in the area that I want to hike at? Right now, at this time of the year, going into the woods, into like a maple woods, it's probably not a great place to go find wildflowers. You can certainly find a few of them. They're usually growing along the edges of a trail or along the edge of the woods, but they're not growing beneath the tree canopy itself off the trail. That's because most flowers that are growing in the woods in Wisconsin tend to be spring ephemerals. They pop up before the leaves fill out that canopy. And then, of course, once the leaves fill out the canopy, by the end of May, those flowers pretty much wither away. But this is a great time to go out and check prairie wildflowers. So if you live near a prairie or an oak savanna at all, which covers much of the southern part of our state, then this is a great time to go out because many of them are blooming and popping up. So it's a good idea to sort of know when are wildflowers blooming and are they going to be blooming on my trail and checking it out. The great thing about my book, if I may plug it for a second, is that it actually tells you, hey, when they come up. So, you know, so this is when you should go in, onto this trail and check things out. You know, another thing to think about is going after a rainfall. After rainfalls, wildflowers tend to bloom. Usually it's a good idea to wait a day or two after the rain stops falling. So if it should be raining today in your part of the state, go check it out 2 days from now on Friday or Saturday, and you'll probably have a better chance of seeing wildflower blossoms then than if you were to, say, go out this morning while it was sunny. You know, another great idea, too, is to make sure that you bring the right tools with you. Sometimes when you go out and you're looking at wildflowers, you need a magnifying glass, or bringing along with you a camera, which can also serve as a magnifying glass. And then you can go and take pictures of them or get a closer up look at the flowers. Bringing with you the tool of a wildflower guidebook is a good idea. And there's lots of field guides out there that focus just on wildflowers for Wisconsin that fit right into your pocket or your backpack. And a lot of times that will help you sort of identify what you're looking at as well. A couple bits of advice, though, is when you're out hiking, make sure you always stay on the trail. You don't want to go off the trail. You may actually be stepping on other wildflowers that haven't popped up yet or bloomed, but that are waiting to bloom later this season. And you don't want to, you know, go out and sort of mess or wreak havoc, I guess, with that ecosystem. So always stay on the trail. Don't go walking off it. Just try to get a closer look at a flower that may be out there.
Mm-hmm. And I was interested in your photo tips because I look on Facebook and I see a lot of flowers and wildflowers photos. Some are a lot better than others. But what's, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So what are some tips for actually taking a photo?
Usually the reason why there's a problem with the flowers is they didn't follow one of these basic tips that I've got. So a good idea is to always make sure first the sun is to your back. So if you don't, what will happen is the glare will wash out the wildflower's colors. So it will look dull, or it will even wash out some of the intricate details that are on the flowers. You know, so if you've got, you know, the yellow stamens, for example, popping up on a white flower, and you're shooting it so the sun's not to your back, but instead is raining right down on that flower, that the yellow stamen will usually get washed out on it. So it's just, sometimes it's a matter of positioning yourself. Another great tip is to actually take photos on gray days. The reason why is the clouds, when it's overcast, will help sort of obscure the sun and soften and diffuse all of the glare that would come from sunlight. So you're going to get a better shot of a flower than if you took it on a sunny day. You know, another thing to think about is trying to get a stable camera. Often you'll see that there's blurs in a photo, and that's usually because the camera moves slightly when a person was taking that shot. And the easy way to do that is just simply get a tripod that you can put your camera on, and you'll have real steady hands during that time with the tripod that you can sort of maneuver the camera around and get it positioned right on the flower. Another thing is to think about is the sort of the plane of the flower. So if you want to get a really sharp photo, you want to focus your camera lens on a single geometric plane. And so with flowers, that would be doing the petals face on. So if you try to do it at an angle, say where you're shooting down at the flower, you're probably not going to get the best photo of the flower. It's best sort of to take the shot face on. Now, I know there are lots of photographers out there who are professionals and say, well, we can take photos, you know, it doesn't have to be on a single geometric plane. And there's that are not on a single geometric plane. But I think somebody who's just an amateur photographer, to avoid taking something that looks like a snapshot, but that looks sort of professional, that's just a simple rule to follow. And of course, windy days are not great days to take any wildflower photos, because even if there's just the slightest breeze, it's going to cause those flowers to wave. You can sort of counter that by by using a faster shutter speed. So usually on our new modern digital cameras, you can set your camera so it will adjust its shutter speed to the conditions that you're in. But if you've got an older camera or one that you can make an adjustment to, you want to try to set your shutter speed to, say, 1/200th or an ISO of 200. That's sort of the camera lingo. If you do those kind of things, you should get a great shot of any flower that you do. Another thing to consider is getting really up and close to the photo or to the flower. You can try to take pictures of groups of flowers, and that works great in meadows where you have, you know, literally hundreds of flowers scattered across, say, a grassland or a field. But if you're taking a wildflower photo in, say, the woods, or you want a close-up of that of a single flower, you want to just go ahead and get as close as you possibly can to it. And then that way you don't have lots of filler space sort of around the flower later on when you actually go and look at it on your computer screen.
Yeah, lots of good tips there, Rob. Well, let's talk, speaking of tips, let's talk about some other places. One of the things I liked is you had your 10 best. I don't know how you decided on which 10, which were the 10 best.
Sure.
And I, by the way, you've got something from every county, I believe.
I do. Yep.
And did you go to every county in the state?
Yeah, actually, for the past, 11 years or so, I've been writing hiking books. Originally started off by writing regional books, and so try to make different trips each weekend to different regions around the state. And I've got more notes than I can possibly deal with, so I don't quite go as frequently. If the trail is a what I call a feature trail, where there's a full article on it in the book, then I actually hike that trail. If it's just a listed trail, then I was in that area, and if I didn't go to it myself, there's other reliable sources that tell about it. Other hikers who've actually done it, going to the DNR, the Forest Service, for example, once you get up in the northern part of the state, conservancies that we have, nature conservancies across the state, which feature areas. So if I could find it in at least two different sources that flower was there, it might make it as one of those little smaller capsules that are in the book. But if it's a longer description of the trail, yeah, I actually hiked it.
John in Bayfield County, by the way, he emailed to say he's been told the widespread carpets of lupins found all around his area in northern Bayfield County are all the progeny of escaped non-native ornamental plantings. And wonders, is that true? One of his favorites is blankets of trout lilies in the border area near Hurley and Ironwood.
Sure. Yeah, with things like lupin and daylilies, they often escape our gardens. There are wild versions, of course, of those flowers, but often what we see these days are our garden seeded flowers that have somehow escaped and have thrived and are actually a little more successful than the wild version of it. Lupin in some areas are not native, meaning, well, they may be native, say, to Wisconsin or to the Midwest. They may not be native to a specific part of the Midwest or a part of Wisconsin, and may not have seen them before. Say, you know, if you've been around for 50 years, maybe you didn't see them as a child growing up in that area, but now you're seeing them all the time. I hesitate to say that the lupin that he's looking at is not native or not. I've definitely heard that story, and certainly there are definite examples of it in across the Midwest of wildflowers that have escaped, especially the daylily, which has been a big problem, say, in Minnesota, where in their prairie areas, where it's really taken root and has done quite well for whatever reason. It likes those prairies. So I will look into that a little bit more and check on that, see what we've got. Yeah.
Well, you've got, I do want to talk about some of your 10 best.
Sure.
I actually have a cabin with some friends in Bayfield County and on near the Shawamigan, bordering the Shawamigan National Forest, and you have one from the Shawamigan National Forest.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, it's such a vast area, you can't help but include a national forest. It's very rich in resources and little micro ecosystems throughout it. When I choose the 10 best, again, looking at what's representative of Wisconsin. And so, for example, where is the best place to see spring ephemerals that have proven year after year after year that you're going to see spring ephemerals there? I mean, there's some areas you can go to and one year they've got everything that you would expect to see popping up in spring, but then you go the next year and they're missing a few of those for whatever reason. So I was looking at places that are consistently good and have a large variety, and I'm also looking at, again, unique places in Wisconsin that maybe there's only one or two places like that at all in the entire state where you could see those specific kind of flowers. I think that you had just mentioned up by Bayfield, that must be the Barksdale Ponds
right.
area.
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely a gorgeous area for a lot of different kind of wetland plants. They've got a carnivorous pitcher plant grows up there, for example. A lot of people don't realize we've got carnivorous plants in the state of Wisconsin. The pitcher plant and the sundew in particular stand out. And a lot of people think of, unfortunately, still think of wetland areas and marshlands as sort of a place you don't want to go to. And I understand you don't want to go tromping through wet environments. That's not what most people want to do when they go out hiking. But the state's developed enough that in a lot of our national and state forests and state natural areas, county parks, that we've put boardwalks and trails to the higher ground through those wetlands. And wetlands actually have an incredible variety and a unique set and array of wildflowers that you just wouldn't see if you went walking through a maple woods or walking through an oak savanna. You know, things like bog laurel, for example, is really gorgeous. Or the marsh marigold, which is a little more common in other areas, but, almost always appears in almost any one of our marsh areas that we have in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. Another area that you mentioned was the Eagle Peak Trail,
right?
At Wisconsin Interstate State Park,
right up by St. Croix Falls and Osceola. That area, that's a wonderful place to go see red columbine, and the Eagle Peak Trail. A lot of people climb it because it's a really high point on the St. Croix River, and they think they can see the St. Croix, but it's all treed in. See, you don't go on the trail really to get a good vista, but boy, in May and June, mid-season, it's just pretty much past right now. We just missed it, but the red columbine, which is a beautiful plant, beautiful long sort of flower, sort of really red and has a sort of a yellowish center that just stands out. That's really common there along the trail. As a side note, really close nearby to Eagle Peak, but in Wisconsin Interstate State Park, you can do the Summit Trail. And if you get to the top of that, where you get a good vista of the St. Croix and the Old Man and the Rock geological formation, you can also find prickly pear cactus up there. So it's one of the few spots in Wisconsin where the prickly pear cactus grows. And when that flowers, it's quite a surprise just to see the sort of flat portion of that plant with all its little needles sticking out. Most people are surprised alone by that. But then when you see it blossom, it's a gorgeous sight indeed.
If you're here, we are just a couple, 3 minutes left. If you're if you were going to go out this week, this coming week, and visit a site, what would be your favorite spot to go?
Yeah, so right now, prairies and oak savannas are the best spots to go. I'd make a beeline down to the Kettle Moraine State Forest, down to its southern unit down in Waukesha County, and probably go to the Scuppernong Prairie State Natural Area. The Ice Age National Scenic Trail runs right through it. And down there through the rest of summer, you're going to find all kinds of flowers that are blossoming. Prairie smoke really stands out. Prairie smoke has these wonderful sort of thread-like, purplish, pinkish, maybe mauve, the best way to describe it, kind of flowers. And then in the wind, those threads kind of blow. It looks like smoke sort of off in the distance. And when you get a whole group of them in a field, it's an impressive sight. The shooting star has already passed. That's a really impressive flower. It looks sort of like fireworks going off, if you can imagine a flower looking like that. That's a more of a spring wildflower that's come up. But you're going to find other things like sort of the indigo, the cream wild indigo. That is just at the end of its run as well. That usually blooms May through June. But some other ones that are coming out right now are the compass plant, for example. Beginning in the rest of this month, you'll probably, in July that is, you'll probably see something like Virginia mountain mint. That's a white flower that's really show. It's not really a showy plant at all, but it's got a wonderful aroma to it. So even if you don't see it or don't recognize it, you probably are catching a good whiff of that in the air as well. So, yeah, any place that's near a prairie area or an oak savanna, that's the best place to go right now, now that summer is starting.
Well, I tell you what, I really enjoyed your book, and you've got some wonderful photography, some wonderful shots of all kinds of flowers, from marsh marigolds to the dotted mint, and it's a real treasure of a book, and something that would be nice to have in your car for when you're out on the road. And I want to thank, Rob, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today to talk about the hikes. We didn't get to many of them, but there are a heck of a lot of them in your book, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you, Rob.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Rob Bignell, an author, award-winning journalist. His latest book is Wisconsin's Best Wildflower Hikes. So you can pick up a copy of that at your local bookstore. I am pretty sure of that. And you could just type in Rob Bignell into your search engine and you'll find out the other books that he's got available. He's got a lot of them. And it's fun to talk with him. He knows a lot. Well, coming up tomorrow at this time, we'll talk with an attorney about the legal side of housing sales. That's tomorrow at 11 on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. And please stay with us. Lots in store here right through the afternoon on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.